The reading from God's Word this morning comes from the Gospel of Jesus, as recorded by the Apostle Luke. It's from chapter 11, reading from verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'"
Thanks, Graham. Good morning, everybody. Just before the sermon today, then, I wanted to show us a little video clip. I've been asking a few people this week, what's your favorite place to pray? I also got a new phone and found out from doing this that the sound on it is not the greatest, so please be patient and listen carefully, but it's worth hearing.
My favorite place to pray would be in the car, because once I've dropped the children off somewhere, it's often the quietest place to pray, and I pray out loud as I'm driving, and I get a lot of things covered.
Great. Ben, what's your favourite place to pray?
My favourite place to pray is in my conservatory, in the corner of the room, looking out onto the garden. It's nice and relaxing. Yeah, I can just see some of God's creation there.
Great. Chris, where's your favourite place to pray?
I like to pray early in the morning while walking my dog on Greenham Common. This morning, this time of year, fantastic sunrises, really good time to connect with nature, really good time to take some quiet and talk to God one to one.
My favourite place to pray is normally on a walk, often up on Greenham Common.
Great. Joanna, where's your favourite place to pray?
My favourite place to pray is the right side of the bed, which is where I usually sleep. I usually pray either lying down on the pillow or sitting up early in the morning when it is quiet and the children are still sleeping. That's my favourite time.
Thank you. So Joseph, where's your favourite place to pray?
I like to pray at the kitchen table because all my family are there.
So you like to pray together with your family. That's great.
Holy Bible app, and I pray every Sunday morning. And then during the day, it's really random for me. So I very often pray when I take my dog out for a walk, or in a car, or if I just sit at a dining table and I've got a 5 minutes to spare to just think and praise God. But everything He's done in my life, and how He's managed to turn my life up and down. Around the things, I thank for things as well. So thank you.
Suzanne, what's your favourite place to pray?
My favourite place to pray is outdoors in nature, where I can really kind of see and feel a part of God's creation, and I kind of get that sense of awe of how amazing and powerful God is.
So interesting to hear the different ways that people like to pray and the different places where people like to pray. I think one of the morals of this tale is, if you're walking your dog on Greenham Common, there's probably half the people there are praying while they walk. So when we say that we're going to be talking about prayer today, I wonder how that makes you feel. Maybe some of us love to pray and we spend long hours in prayer and we've seen some amazing answers to prayer. Maybe some of us are quite new to prayer and we're not quite sure exactly how it's supposed to happen or what exactly it's about. Some of us here might be feeling like, you know what, I tried that and it really didn't work for me very well. And others of us, I should imagine quite a few of us, will probably feel like, well, I do pray, but I probably should pray more. And we've got this little bit of a sense of guilt that we don't actually spend as much time praying as we should do. Let me assure you, as we begin, that our aim today is not to make you feel guilty about how much you don't pray. And also, we're not going to do an ABC's list of this is the way you're supposed to pray. But we're going to have a look at what prayer is a little bit and think about some ways we might begin to or continue on with making prayer a habit in our everyday lives. Before we begin talking about prayer, looking at prayer, I just wanted to think very briefly about last week, to go back to our Holy Habit series. And what Will was speaking about last week, we develop spiritual disciplines, our habits in our lives. That's not to try to earn God's love or act in ways that are going to be good enough for Him. We come at this knowing already that we are God's dearly loved children. And through what Jesus has done, then we've been forgiven. We've been made righteous in His sight. And we could never do that ourselves. We could never be good enough for that. And that is not something that we earn. It's a gift from our gracious God. So when we're thinking about habits, I just think it's really, really important that that's there underlying all of it. I was thinking about an illustration of this that helps me to think about it more clearly, and thinking about gardening. We have some amazing gardeners in the congregation at St. Nick's. I've seen people's beautiful gardens, the team who keep our church garden looking so beautiful, and the team who work over in the hospital, ministering to people there through that peaceful, lovely place for people to go and enjoy. And I was thinking about gardening. All of these amazing gardeners, and yet none of them can make a plant grow. Gardeners can prepare the soil, they can put the nutrients in, they can try and put things in the right place so they've got sunshine, water that they need, but none of us can actually make something grow. And it's only God who can make things grow. And I was thinking the holy habits are kind of like that, kind of like preparing the soil, preparing the ground, doing what we can do to make our lives somewhere that with good soil so that God can work in us and through us and make things grow and produce fruit, and we can share Him with people around us. Prayer is a massive subject to talk about, and I have to say, I have to start off today by saying there's no way that we're going to cover very much. We're only going to cover a very little bit of it. So there's lots of other aspects of prayer that I won't be talking about today. And I'm aware of that as we begin. I wanted to focus today, especially, I was thinking about what is prayer. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is relationship. Jesus taught us in the prayer that Graham read out for us in Luke's version of it to pray, Our Father. Our Father. When we come before God, we come like children to a parent. And prayer is spending time with our loving heavenly dad. The disciples, they saw Jesus' relationship with God and the way that He prayed. Scripture tells us lots of times that Jesus withdrew and went to spend time with His Father. They must have noticed how Jesus looked forward to prayer and actually hungered for it. Prayer was like Jesus' daily bread. When Jesus had been speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, He tells His disciples, I have bread to eat. I have food to eat that you don't know about. And that was the sustenance of hearing from God, listening to God, and obeying God. As Jews, the disciples would have been used to praying. Prayer was just a part of their lives. They would pray before meals. They would pray before the Sabbath. There was lots of prayer. And yet, here in Luke, we see them asking Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Something about the way that Jesus prayed caused them to see how little they knew about prayer. They weren't just asking, what words shall we say when we pray? We can be put off praying because we feel like we don't really know what we're doing. We struggle to find the time. We're distracted. Or it seems like other people are so much better at praying than we are. Or maybe we don't really see the point. Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And in this book, this man who is famous for his prayer life wrote this. For years, I was bothered by the thought that I was a failure at prayer. Then I realized that I would always be a failure at prayer. And I've got a lot better ever since. The disciples were going to become mighty prayer warriors. As we see through the book of Acts, we see them praying, amazing things happening. But that didn't happen automatically. Pete Gregg, in his book, which I found really, really helpful when I was preparing for this sermon, says, prayer didn't get beamed down upon them from heaven. It wasn't a guaranteed perk of the apostolic job. They had to learn to pray. And that began with them coming in humility to Jesus and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And us too, we can come to God and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And there's always more to learn, no matter how long we've been praying, no matter how many years, there's always more for us to be able to learn. When we understand that it's a learning process, then we're set free to experiment and question and even fail because we know we're just learning. The next aspect of prayer I wanted us to think about is that it's about listening, not just talking. If it's a relationship, we're created to be in a relationship with God. And I was thinking, what does that relationship look like? What should it look like? And in scriptures, we can see a few glimpses of what it might look like. A relationship looks like God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, talking with them. A relationship with God looks like talking with him intimately, like Moses, as God spoke with him face to face, like speaking with a friend. A relationship with God looks like listening attentively to his voice. He tells us that he is the good shepherd and his sheep know his voice. A relationship with God might also sometimes mean watching and praying, even when we're really tired, as we join him in his kingdom work, which he has called us to. In a relationship with anyone that we're close to, we'll talk and we'll listen. We'll laugh, we'll cry. We'll share the deep things of our hearts and our concerns and our worries. And sometimes when we really trust each other, then we can just be silent together. A togetherness which doesn't need words. Prayer can too often seem to us like coming to God with a long list of things that we need to talk to him about. But in a relationship, we can talk about the things that are on our minds and our hearts, and we need to listen as well as talk. As we do that, as we come into his presence as we listen, then we're reminded of who he is. Holy, our holy God. And the prayer says, hallowed, holy be your name. As we're reminded of who God is, then that puts other things into perspective for us. The world can be very confusing. So many voices, so many demands on our time. Prayer is reconnecting to the one who is the truth and retuning into his voice. When Jesus withdrew to spend time with his Father, he listened and he heard from the Father. He came back knowing, for example, which unlikely characters he should ask to be his disciples and come and follow him, or knowing that it was time to move on to another village because there was ministry there to be done, even though there still seemed to be lots of needs over here. He knew when it was time to head to Jerusalem to show the extent of his self-sacrificial love on the cross. A friend of mine was struggling at one point with her prayer life. She couldn't find enough time, and the time she did have, it just felt like hard work. She wasn't feeling close to God. She had a mentor who was actually an 80-year-old nun who she knew. And as she spoke with this mentor about her struggle, she got some advice which really helped to transform her prayer life. Take 10 minutes in your day, her mentor told her, and have a cup of coffee with God. So she decided to take this advice. She started taking 10 minutes a day, sitting at the kitchen table, which is where Joseph prefers to pray as well, sitting at the kitchen table with her cup of coffee, just to spend time with God. Sometimes in silence, sometimes talking, but making time to listen as well. It didn't feel like hard work. It felt like relationship. And she found herself wanting to spend more and more time with God through that. And that can then lead on to the bringing God the things on our hearts, praying for the other situations that we really want to. The next thing I want to think about is that prayer changes us. Often we have the view that prayer is about changing God's mind about something, convincing him that he ought to care about this thing, like he doesn't care already. But often prayer is actually about God changing us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about how we who look at or contemplate God's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. As we spend time with him in his presence, then we are contemplating his glory, and that will change us. I found that as we spend time in God's presence and his word, as we talk with him and as we listen to him, then we find that he does a transforming work in us. As we spend more time with him, we begin to know more of his heart for other people and situations, and that will lead us to pray and cry out to God for them. As we listen to God, he will guide us as well in how we can pray for others. He will give us glimpses of what his will is in people's lives, and we can pray more specifically into their situations. As he answers our prayers, though not always in the ways that we expect, then we're reminded of his love and power, and our faith grows. I find then that as we spend time with God, it helps us to become more aware of his presence throughout the day. Some of the people on the video talked about how praying during the day, they took some times to pray specifically, but they then during the day, they would pray at other times as well. And I think as we become more aware of his presence, then we see his presence in different situations. And it makes us pray just more naturally during our day. Pray for that person, pray for that situation. Pray when there's that really sad thing on the news that makes us feel really sad for that, for people. As we become more aware of his love, then we'll be praying for others around us to experience that love and to come to know Jesus as well. So, if we want to grow our friendship with God, then we need to cultivate a rhythm or a habit of prayer. And how do we do that? It won't always be easy. Sometimes it'll be hard work. Yet we need to remember that we are offered this amazing gift. As one author puts it, God, the creator of all things, the one who knows us better than anyone else and yet loves us more than anyone else, invites us to this friendship. This is something that we get to do rather than have to do. Prayer can transform each activity of life into something sacred. A rhythm of prayer will look different for each one of us. We heard the people on the video, they all had different places, different ways of praying. And we need to work out what fits best with our situation and our personality. If you are a parent with small children, you are not likely to be able to find 2 hours to pray in the morning before you get your day going. But you might take 5 minutes in the morning, or like Joanna was saying, even before she gets up when the children are still asleep, to just take that time, even lying in her bed, to commit the day and to come and spend some time with God. And then you might be able to take 5 minutes in the evening and use other small dark times during the day to just check in with God. Some of us will prefer praying indoors. Some of us will prefer praying outdoors. Some of us will prefer loud and exuberant prayer. I sometimes like to walk outside if there's nobody around and pray really loud. Some of us will much prefer quiet, contemplative prayer. Some of us will like to use symbols, like maybe lighting a candle or something, that reminds us of God's presence with us as we pray. And we can also use things as reminders during the day. So you can set your alarm to pray at a particular time. I tend to pray, I have a certain road which I walk down nearly every day, and I always pray as I walk down that road, praying for the people in the houses as I go. Can have things that just prompt us to pray during the day, just reminding us of God's presence. God is present, God is at work, and things that can remind us of that, and then we join with God in the work of prayer. There are devotional books which can help us to pray. A lot of people I know use a devotional book, read a passage, direct their prayer. Or there are prayer apps which we can use. So I use Lectio 365, which is the 24/7 prayer app for my morning prayers. I know other people who use the YouVersion Bible app, or there's an app called Pray As You Go, and some people I know really enjoy that one. Some people love to listen to worship music while they pray. And I know other people who love to journaling their thoughts and prayers as they talk with God and spend time with God really helps them in their prayers. Other people pray through their art, creative people. And I know people who pray as they drive, like Alison was saying, or as they sit on the train for their daily commute. It'll look different for each one of us, but let's try it. Let's make an effort. If you already spend lots of time praying, that's great. Is there another step from something that we've been talking about today that you think, yeah, I'm going to include that in my prayer? If you don't spend much time in prayer at the moment, then maybe your step this week can be say, I'm going to take 5 minutes to have a cup of coffee with God. Whatever it is, you ask God and think about what is that step we might take this week to make sure that we can start to develop that habit or rhythm or move it forwards. Pete Gregg's advice about when we establish a daily rhythm of prayer is keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Don't give up, because sometimes it'll be hard. He's got a really useful book called How to Pray that I would recommend to you. And there's also the prayer course, which is linked to that book. So if anyone in their small group's thinking, actually, I'd really like to be talking more about this stuff, we can talk about this with each other and learn and study some more about this, then I think at St. Nick's you did the prayer course, but I think it was quite a long time ago now. So people might be interested in doing that. Just one other thing I found helpful is having a friend who you can be accountable to. Someone who can ask you regularly, how's it going? How's your rhythm of prayer? Are you spending time with God? And you can ask them the same thing too. You can hold each other accountable. And they can pray and support you and encourage you. But just don't tell them lies. Tell them the truth when they ask you that. But I found that really helpful for me as well. So prayer is about relationship. Let's remember the privilege that we have to spend time with our Heavenly Father who loves us. Let's be intentional about making sure that we take some time. And let's listen as well as talk in prayer and allow God to be transforming us and using us as we spend time in His presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of this relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that we were created to be in relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that this week we would have real moments of being aware of you, being aware of your presence, and spending time with you, that you would show us what that needs to look like for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.